Sound Effect is our weekly storytelling show here at KNKX. That's where we get our next story. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer has more.
It's Sound Effect, and today's theme is better late than never. There's that saying that pops up in fortune cookies and spoken by the parents of antsy kids, good things come to those who wait. Michael Jacobson of Seattle waited for something. In fact, he waited for decades to get a hold of two unusual boats that were being used as light fixtures in a restaurant. When it eventually did happen, a new door opened up in the world that he did not expect. Sound Effect's Jennifer Wing has the story.
It's a beautiful, clear Seattle evening, and I'm walking down the front steps of Michael Jacobson's North Seattle home. We maneuver around his car, which is parked in the driveway, and he opens up the garage.
We're going to open the garage door. Yeah, some guys have Harleys. I have a Tatala.
There's a giant boat. You can barely fit this thing in here.
I can barely fit it in. It is 16 feet in length. It is made up of 21 pieces of wood that have been very carefully custom carved to fit together. There's pegs holding these pieces of wood together. You see the puzzle shaped nature of this. There's no nails. There's no glue.
The Talas are built by an indigenous tribe called the Yami. They live on Orchid Island off the coast of Taiwan. Constructing a Tatala is considered to be a rite of passage. A boat is started by a boy, and when he's finished, he's a man. This Tatala in Michael's garage, like all the other Tatalas, was used to catch flying fish with nets. The boat is a work of art. It's ornately carved to look like the prey it's hunting.
These are thought to be the scales of the flying fish. I mean, it looks at one level like a Viking boat, you know?
It does, kind of a miniature version. Level,
yeah.
To understand how this Tatala from thousands of miles away is now in Michael's garage in Seattle, we have to go back to 1986, when Michael and his then-girlfriend, Kara Berman, who's now his wife, were just out of college.
My dad got remarried, and this uncle came from New Zealand, and he's like, oh, come visit, come visit. We had no mortgage, no kids, no pet. And so we were like, we should just do this.
Before going to New Zealand to visit that uncle, Michael and Kara went to Taiwan and to mainland China. They studied the language, the art, the history, and they knew that they were witnessing tremendous change.
You know, the West went through the Industrial Revolution in 100 years, and China was doing it in about 20. So the pace of change was kind of insane and palpable, and yet there's also just things that have been around since the Tang Dynasty, which is 600 to 900 AD. There's a pagoda, and it's a Tang Dynasty pagoda, and it's just standing there in the middle of a park.
Michael and Kara eventually returned to Seattle with a deep knowledge about China and Taiwan. Their lives moved on. They pursued careers in environmental science. And then one day after work, they headed to Ivor's Salmon House at the north end of Lake Union for happy hour.
We walked into this banquet room, and all of a sudden we saw these two boats from what are called the Yami or the Dao people from this island off of Taiwan. And we're like, what? I can't believe these are here. And they were literally being used as hanging light fixtures with fluorescent lights in the boats, and they're hanging from the ceiling. So we're like, that's crazy.
Other carvings and crafts from Taiwan's indigenous tribes were displayed here and there throughout the restaurant, being passed off as Northwest artifacts. Michael got curious. He learned that Ivar Haglund, yes, the Ivar, went to China in the 1970s to buy furniture for the Chinese Room in the Smith Tower, a building he had recently purchased for $1.8 million. Ivar came back with all sorts of treasures, including the two Tatala canoes. Over the years, Michael kept going back to Ivar's Salmon House. It was like his own personal Taiwanese art museum. He'd always look up to make sure that the Tatalas were still there, these boats that took him to his time in Taiwan and represented old traditions hanging on in a fast-changing part of the world. Then, one day, after nearly 30 years of many beers and orders of fish and chips, the canoes, they were gone.
Then I was like, oh my God, maybe they sold them. Maybe they threw them away. Maybe they had a bonfire.
at Tatala's were fine. They were in a warehouse filled with old restaurant decorations and fat fryers. And it was around this time that Michael came into a little bit of money after his mom died. So he went to Ivar's and made a deal for the boats.
I gave him a number that I thought was not insulting, and they needed a rug for their headquarters. So I gave him a number that basically paid for the rug. It worked out.
After all of these years that have passed, these canoes built to catch flying fish in the warm waters of the South China Sea, they were now Michael's. One remains in his garage, and the other to Tala, the one that's in better shape, Michael donated to the Burke Museum in Seattle. And this is where this nearly 30-year journey takes a new turn. You see, Michael's friend, an anthropologist, knows this researcher who knows a man named Simon Laverman, who is from the island, Orchid Island, where these canoes are made. And he happens to be in Seattle this past summer. And a children's choir from Taiwan also happens to be in Seattle at the same time. They all meet at the Burke's warehouse, where Simon blessed this new addition to the collection.
The way that he talked about the boat was not as an object. He talked about the boat as a person. They're basically talking to the boat, saying, you've had a long life. You need to rest. You're in a good place. They will take care of you here. And we know you're far away from your home, but it's okay. You'll be okay.
Did the thought cross your mind at the time of the blessing when you have people visiting from Taiwan who have this legitimate connection to this boat? I need to give this to you. This doesn't belong here.
Well, yes, it did. Because, you know, what's the proper place for this? But that wasn't their focus. They saw it, frankly, as an emissary of their culture. There's a broader collective good here.
Michael says he is going to go to Orchid Island to see where his Tatalas come from. And Simon Laverman is already making plans to return to Seattle. The hope is that when he comes again, he'll be bringing a brand new Tatala that will explore the waters of the Pacific Northwest.